Today's daf is Chulin daf Chof Vav, and we are at the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, on daf Chof Hei Yomabeh. So Chulin daf Chof Vav is the last daf of the first Perek of Masechtas Chulin. And as we've seen, although the majority of the first Perek of the Masechta dealt with the halachos of Shechita, or at the very least, Me Inyan Le Inyan Ba'isa Inyan, at the very end of the Perek, the Perek digressed and discussed halachas that have nothing to do with the course sugyas of Masechtas Chulin. And again, if you just follow the trail of what exactly happened, we were discussing the halachas of Shechita. The Mishnah then compared and contrasted Hilchas Shechita with Hilchas Malika. Malika and Shechita are very similar. Shechita is to an oif chulin what Malika is to an oif kachin. Once we mentioned Malika, the Mishnah discussed the halacha that deals with the Torah and Yoyim, the two types of birds that are kachin for Malika. And the Mishnah said that if you want to describe the relationship between the Torah and the Bnei Yoyna, kachin b'Torah and pasal b'Bnei Yoyna, kachin b'Bnei Yoyna, pasal b'Torah. And with that, the Mishnah digressed and went ahead and discussed different halachas completely unrelated to what we're talking about, where you find this type of relationship. What's kasha here is pasul there, and what's pasul here is kasha here. I think this is very similar to the first parak of Masechtas Megillah, where the Mishnah discusses Ein Bein, Adar Rishon, and Adar Sheni, and then it digresses to discuss different Ein Beins. So it's very similar to the Ein Beins. We have here a digression. Regardless, in today's daf, the last daf, we're going to have a whole smorgasbord of sugyas. We're going to learn a little bit about Maisa Sheni, Hilchas Mik. The halachas of machzis hashekel. We're going to learn about maisa behema. We're going to learn about the halacha that a father once upon a time was allowed to sell his daughter as an Amma of Ria, as long as she's a ktana. We're going to learn about the knas of oimis and mafata. We're going to learn about mion. We're going to learn about chalitza. And then we're going to learn a little bit about havdalah. Regardless, zok the Mishnah. But before the Mishnah, a little bit of an introduction. And that is, we know that the basic halacha of Maisa Sheni is that it had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. What happens if somebody has Maisa Sheni? It's going to be impractical for him to make it to Yerushalayim. And by the time he makes it to Yerushalayim, the peiros that he has is going to spoil. So the Torah says there's a plan B, there's an option. You can be poyed at the Maisa Sheni. You can transfer the Kedusha from the peiros onto the money. And then the money doesn't go bad. When you have an opportunity to go up to Yerushalayim, you'll take that money and you'll buy food with the money. You'll eat it b'kedusha v'tahira in Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah says that as far as what kind of food you're allowed to buy, it's almost everything. There are very few exceptions. One of the exceptions is water. So, for example, you can buy a beverage of your choice, but mayim is not considered a qualified food that you would be able to use to purchase with your mois maisa sheni. That's the first halacha. The second halacha is, we know that a mikvah, in order for it to be kosher, has to have 40 sa of mei geshamim. If the water was mayim she'uvim, it was taken from a well, then the halach is, it's going to be possible. What happens if you have a mikveh that has 40 sa of megashaman, meaning it's a kosher mikveh, but you add it on top of the 40 sa, mayim shuvim? So it depends. If you had the 40 sa of megashaman, and then afterwards you added the mayim shuvim, then it's okay. The mayim shuvim is always going to be bottled to the kosher mikveh. It's never going to disqualify the mikveh. If, however, you had a mikveh that was chaser, it wasn't 40 sa, even if it was chaser kartov, it was missing a tiny bit, but it wasn't the full shear of 40 saw, and then you go ahead and you add 3 lugim of mayim she'uvim, the halacha is, it would passel the mikvah. What happens if you would add 3 lugim of some other beverage, such as wine or something else? It would have passel the mikvah. This halacha of gimel lugim mayim she'uvim, disqualifying the mikvah, if it was put into the mikvah before you had the full complement, before you had the 40 saw of mayim geshamim, is only true if it's water. It's not true if it's not water. With that haktoma zokta mishnah, in the winemaking process, after the grapes were pressed, so the winemakers would take the pressed grapes, they would soak it in water, leave it there for an extended period of time. With time, the grapes would be nice and tam into the water. Eventually, it would ferment, and it was used as an inferior grade of wine. Says the Mishnah, if somebody has temed, he has grapes, it's been soaking in water, actually hichmetz, if it's been soaking, but not long enough for this liquid to actually ferment, so the halacha is we look at it as water. And as a result, you can't use your Maisa Sheni money to buy this temed. Because as we said before, you can use my sheinu money to buy water. Additionally, it's going to be considered water, so that if it's she'uvim, three lugim of it that go into a mikvah before you had the 440 saw, is going to make the mikvah possible. Once it ferments, nikach bekesef meiser, then the halacha is that it's considered wine. Being that it's considered wine, you can use your ma'aser sheni money to buy it. Additionally, if any place has a mikvah, it's not going to disqualify the mikvah, because again, it's wine, it's not water, and it's only gimel lugim of mayim she'uvim that passel the mikvah. But if it's yayin, then you don't have the halacha, it's going to passel the mikvah. Another halacha. And before the next halacha, again, a little bit of an introduction. That is, we're all familiar with the mitzvah of machtes hashakel. Once upon a time, when there was a beis hamikdash, there was an obligation for every yid between the ages of 20, 60, women, levim, sugyas, and mesachtes kohen. But the point is, there was a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa for a yid to give a machtes hashakel. The money went to the beis hamikdash, to the enterprise called the beis hamikdash. The purpose of the money was to finance the karbanos tzibur. A karban tzibur had to belong to the tzibur. So how do you make sure that every member of the tzibur has a chelek in the karbanos tzibur? You use the machtes hashekel that were contributed by every member of the tzibur, and as a result, every single carbon we look at as belonging to every single member of the tzibur. Chachamim made a takana, and they said that being that sometimes the silver of the coin that was the half a shekel would erode, there was a chash that maybe when you're giving your machtes hashekel, you didn't actually give a full machtes hashekel. It's a mitzvah day raisa. You have to give machtes hashekel. If it's a little bit less, you're not yoyed to the mitzvah. So Chachamim made a takana that you should be moisef a kalboin. Kalbin's a small amount of silver. Add a little bit of silver. In the event that it's not a full machzah shekel, like this, you're going to be able to get away with it. Stating that, the halacha is that the only time you had to be moisef a kalbin is if you're giving your own machzah shekel. But let's say Reuven's giving machzah shekel on behalf of Shimon. You're giving it on somebody else's behalf. Then the halacha is you have to be moisef kalbin. So if you're giving it for yourself, you have to be moisef the kalbin. If you're giving it for somebody else, then you don't have to be moisef a kalbin. Next halacha. We're familiar with meisa behemah. Asiri yir. There's a halacha. It's exeris hakasev that if you have a partnership, two people, they own a business together, and they own cattle, they don't have to give ma'aser behemah. So an individual that owns animals, he has to give ma'aser behemah. But a shutfis does not have to give ma'aser behemah. With that, akdama zok the Mishnah, ha'achim ha'shutfin. There were two brothers, and they yarshined their father. So their father died, he left over an estate. He left over money, he left over cattle. There was an estate now. So the question is, when the brothers go ahead and they are now going to determine whether or not they have to give ma'aser behemah, or whether the brothers are going to determine now, you know, they want to give machzis hashekel from the estate. Should they be ma'aser v'kalbin? Should they not be ma'aser v'kalbin? They have a little bit of a question. The question is, how do we look at their relationship with the money? Do we look at it as if they are taking their father's money, their father's cattle, and from that they're giving machzis hashekel, and that they're being mafresh ma'aser behemah? Or maybe no. Being that the father died, there's two brothers now. Yerusha is deiraisa, goes memel. Even a cotton could be yerush deiraisa. You don't have to do a ma'isa kinyan to be a yorish. So we look at them as two individuals. So it says the Mishnah really depends. If they went ahead and they actually divided the estate, so now we look at half of the estate belonging to one brother, the other half of the estate looking at the other brother. If they decide that they want to join forces, so it's no different than Reuven and Shimon deciding together that they want to be partners. If, however, they didn't divide the estate yet, it's in what's known by Chazal as betfusas habayis. It's still in the estate form, they actually didn't go ahead and divide it. So then we look at it as belonging to the father. So how does it impact the halachas? So it says the Mishnah, Achan hashutfin kishachayovin bekalboin, in the event that they're going to be chayovin kalboin, which would mean that they divided the estate. And as a result, when they give machzis hashekel, they're giving their own thing. Thus, they're chayovin kalboin, because we said in the introduction, you only give kalboin if you're giving your own thing. If you're giving somebody else's thing, you don't have to give the kalboin. Then, p'turim b'maisa behemah, they're going to be potter for ma'aser behemah, because shutfin apotter for ma'aser behemah. If, however, they didn't divide it yet, therefore it's looked at as belonging to the father, not them, the shutfin. The father is a sole proprietor; he's one person. As a result, there is a chi of ma'aser behemah. Then, if they give machs
machsa shekel. So we look at it as they're giving machsa shekel from their father's estate, and as a result, they're going to be potter min hakalpin. Either way, the Gemara from here until the end of the Mishnah is going to discuss not the seif of the Mishnah, the ratio of the Mishnah. So going back to the ratio of the Mishnah, said if you have temet, again, what's temet? You have grapes that were pressed, it's soaking in water right now. Once it ferments, it's going to be treated as wine. The question is, do you look at it as wine or do you look at it as water? Could I use my Maisa Sheni money to buy? If it's wine, I could. If it's water, I can't. If I have three lugim of it, shuvim, and it goes into a mikvah that's chaser, does it pass on the mikvah or not? If it's water, it's going to pass on the mikvah. If it's wine, it's not going to pass on the mikvah. So what did the Mishnah say? It depends. What's the determining factor? Was it hichmetz or was it loy hichmetz? Did it ferment or did it not ferment? If it fermented, if it was hichmetz, so then the halachas, we look at it as wine. If it was loy hichmetz, it did not ferment, then we look at it as wine. Who's the Tan of our Mishnah? L'chur at first glance. Loy Rabbi Yehuda, v'loy Rabbanon. It would seem to be not Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanon. The Tanah we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Maisris, HaMesamet. If somebody was making temet, so he was soaking these grapes in water, he wanted to make this temet. And what he did was he measured very precisely how much water he had in his mixer. So he had a gallon of water, and now he adds grapes. Umatzit, he comes back 3 days later, and he found kedei midasai. There's still a gallon. So the Tanna Kama, the Chachamim of the Mishnah say, Potter, the halach is you don't have to be mafresh trumas or maestras from this mixture, because obviously all you have is water. Because if you had more than water, then the volume of the liquid would have gone up a little bit. You started with a gallon, now you fight to have a gallon. What does that mean? That means there's nothing inside it. Nothing with mamashos, even if there's tam, but it's tamay v'lei mamash. There's no mamashos inside, and as a result, there'd be no obligation to be a mafish trumas and maizos. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I don't care. As long as it's been soaking inside, that would be enough to be chayev. In other words, we have a Mishnah over here where the Mishnah seems to be saying that if you look at temet and you want to know, is it wine or is it water? The Mishnah over there is discussing with regards to the obligation to be mafresh trumas and maizos from it. What does it depend on? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like you're always going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you didn't increase the volume of the liquid, you're going to be chayiv. According to the Chachamim, it depends. If you increase the volume of the liquid, then we look at it as wine. Otherwise, if it's kedei midasa, you found it exactly the way you left it, nothing changed, then you're going to be potter. In other words, we have a determining factor of how you know whether it's water or wine, but it's not the same determining factor as we had in the Mishnah. What is it? It's two shittas. According to the Chachamim, you have to measure it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's always going to be viewed as wine. It's fake. Mani, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbanon. If the Tan of Mishnah is the Rabbanon, I forgot the Hichmetz. And then you do it Hichmetz. Mishnah says if it's Hichmetz, we look at it as wine. It's not true. If it was Hichmetz and the volume remained the same, we're going to look at it as water. Rabbi Yehuda. And if it's Rabbi Yehuda, I forgot the loy Hichmetz. Even if it didn't ferment, the halacha should be that it should be treated as wine. Meaning our Mishnah makes it tali in Hichmetz. In the Mishnah Masechtas Maestros, there's two sheetas. According to one sheet, it's always wine. And according to the other sheet, it depends on the volume. So who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Rav Nachman, Rabbi Baravua, Bisha Hichmetz, Machloikis. You have to say that the Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, in that Mishnah Masechtas Maestros, is discussing Dafka where it was Hichmetz. And it's only when it was Hichmetz that there's even a discussion amongst the Tanam whether we should look at it as wine or not wine. What's the Shaila? According to the Chachamim, if it's the same volume, even if it was Hichmetz, we look at it as water. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, as long as it was Hichmetz, I don't care what happened. I don't care what the volume is. It doesn't interest me. The bottom line is, as long as it was Hichmetz, the halachas we're going to look at as wine. The Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Hichmetz, it's always looked at as wine. And that is the sheet in the Mishnah. As long as it's Hichmetz, says the Gemara, Masis Rabbi Yehuda, Bechinam Rabbi Yitz, Rabbi Chanina, Beshe Hichmetz, Machloikis, and the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Another halacha. Amar Rab Nachmin, Amar Rabbi Baravu, Temed, Shalach, Bekasif Meiser. If somebody bought Temed with Meiser Sheni money, and at the time that he bought it, it was not yet Hichmetz. And then he has this temet sitting in his house, and eventually it was hichmetz. So the halacha is kana mais. I mean, even though initially when he bought it, it was loy hichmetz, and based on the halacha of the Mishnah, you're not allowed to buy temet that was loy hichmetz with maisa sheni money. But if it was libesayif hichmetz, so then libesayif, the transfer of kedusha from the money onto the temet goes into effect. My timer, what's the reason? The Mishnah says a lumbus. The lumbus is that we look at it, as says Rashi, the Bishas Lekicha Peirahava. We look at it as if at the time that the person bought it, it was already wine. The Nichnas Bahem Koyach HaChartzanim. Eloshadayim Lo Nigmar. It just wasn't Nigmar yet. The Chilo Ma'ayu. And we look at it as a regular hook. The bottom line is, even though at the time that you bought it, it wasn't maybe wine yet, but if it later becomes wine, Igloy Milsalam Afreya, that it was wine at the time that you bought it. Says the Gemara, Elamah season the Tani Hichmitzin Loi Hichmitz Loi. I don't understand the Mishnah about it. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to buy Kemed actually Hichmitz with Kesef Maisa Sheni. And in the Mishnah, it's a mashman that what would be if you bought? What would be if you actually bought temet shalai hichmitz with your maisa sheni money? It sounds like the kedusha wouldn't transfer. You don't have to worry about the temet. There's no kedusha, right? If you can't buy it with your maisa sheni money, then that means there's implications on the kedusha level. It means that the kedusha doesn't transfer from the money onto, right? What happens when you pay the maisa sheni? So the kedusha goes from the peiros maisa sheni onto the money. When you then buy something with the maisa sheni, the kedusha transfers again. It transfers now from the money onto the thing that you're buying. If the Mishnah says that temet is not nikach with kesef maisa sheni, actually hichmetz, it sounds like the kedusha doesn't transfer. Frank the Gemara, how could you just go ahead unequivocally state that there's no kedusha? Maybe if you're going to let it sit around, dilma yishafki havi machmetz, maybe it would ferment later. El ma'isi nalak Rav Nachman, but the Gemara says no. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says k'shami men abekayis v'yichmas. Anichanami. The Mishnah doesn't mean that you can just assume that it's never going to be. It means halcha b'mayaskinu where it never fermented. Never fermented. Then you don't have the gloy l'milsa l'afreya. Then at the time that you bought it was already one. Rav Amar. Rav said a different teretz. Hamani Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Who's this Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? So it's from the beginning of Masechtas Makkos. From the time we learned to the Mishnah. Gimel lugin mayim chaser kartov shenochan le'toychan kurtav yayin. So we said before that a mikvah, in order for it to be kosher, has to have 40 saw of megashamim. What happens if you had 40 saw of megashamim and then mayim she'uvim falls into the mikvah? Doesn't bottom. What happens if you had a mikvah that didn't have the full 40 saw of megashamim and then mayim she'uvim fell in? It's a problem. When is it a problem? If 3 lugim of mayim she'uvim would fall into that mikvah, it would be an issue. So the Mishnah discusses where you had a mikvah that was chaser. You also had 3 lugim mayim that was chaser. Shenafa l'toichem kurtav yayin. Then a little bit of wine fell into the gimel lugim of mayim. Umarei and kamari yayin. So now you have 3 lugim, and it looks like wine. Shenafa l'mikvah, and it fell into a mikvah that was chaser. It didn't have the 40 saws. It doesn't make the mikvah pasul. Why? Because in order for the mikvah to be pasul, you need 3 lugim of mayim. You don't have 3 lugim of mayim. You have 3 lugim chaser kartav. The hashlama of it was with yayin, not with mayim. Gimel lugim mayim chaser kartav shenafa l'toichem kurtav chol. But be it the same exact case. Where again you have a mikvah that's chaser, and now you have 3 lugim of mayim that's chaser, and a little bit of not wine falls into the 3 lugim, but a little bit of milk falls into it. What's the difference between wine and milk? When wine falls into the mixture, it doesn't look like water anymore. Now it looks like wine. If milk falls into it, umareim kamar mayim, it's still going to look like water. Enough lulim mikvah, and then they fall into the mikvah. Allah is like paslu. It doesn't make it pasul. Again, because even though it looks like water, it's not water. It's mostly water, a little bit of milk. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai is it has to be 3 lugim of mayim. I disagree. Meaning it depends. In the first case, where it looks like wine, it's not going to pasul. But in the second case, where it looks like water, even though it's not 100% water, it's only mostly water, but being that at the end of the day, the entire mixture looks like water, because it's chalav that was mashlamit, over there the halacha is, it is going to pasul the mikvah. So says the Gemara, lav amar Rabbi Yochanan. What do you see from this Rabbi Yochanan? As in Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, that basachas usas linon. Now, when you want to determine what something is, it's not enough to look at what it is chemically, physically. You also have to take the appearance of it into consideration. Thus, if you have gimel lugim of mayim, which chaser kartov, and you add milk where the taruva still looks like water, and halacha we treat it like water. So halachinami, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? Zul basa chazusa. We're going to look at what this mixture looks like. The time of a chazusa dahai mayaninu. Meaning, enochinami, Rav Nachman says that if you would buy meiser, if you would buy temet with your meiser sheni money, and then later it would be hichmetz, at the time that it's hichmetz later, it's a gloy milsa mafrei. But until the time that it's hichmetz, at this moment right now, we still look at it as water. The reason we still look at it as water, because right now is lehichmetz. Right now it looks like water, and if right now it looks like water, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, meaning the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. That's why the Mishnah says that we look at what it looks like at that state, and I don't care what happens later. But then Chanami, if according to the Chachamim, they don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, meaning according to the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, there's a concept of a gloy milsa mafreya. But the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't care about what was a gloy milsa mafreya, because even if it was a gloy milsa mafreya, but at the end of the day, lemafreya it still looked like water. And if it looked like water, halacha has to treat it like water. Regardless, what Rav Nachman had said to explain our Mishnah, we started off with Mani Masis, and the Mishnah says that is temed wine or is it temed water? It depends if it was hichmas or loy hichmas. Then the Gemara brought a Mishnah Masachtas Maisus that had two shitas. According to one shita, it depends on the midah, you have to measure it. According to the other shita, no. Temet is always treated as wine. The Gemara said, "Mani Masis." So what did Rav Nachman say? The Mishnah is going according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda only said his halacha that temet is treated like wine when it was hichmet. Says the Gemara, that Rav Nachman said is replicated to Rabbi Loza. Dam Rabbi Loza, how come the Shem Arfishin all mebakamacher? Rabbi Loza said that everybody agrees, meaning Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in that Mishnah Masachris Maisris, who argue whether or not you could be mafris trumas or maisris from this temet, where uz matza kedei midasai. The volume of the mixture didn't change. Could you be mafresh, or are you obligated to be mafresh shumas maizer? Rabbi Yehuda said that. But even Rabbi Yehuda said Rabbi Lazar only said his halacha with regards to being mafresh mineyu bay from the temet itself. But he agreed that you can't be mafresh mimakom achar elim kein hichmetz unless it fermented. Why? Because Savar, he holds below hichmetz machloikis, that really the machloikis is even below hichmetz. Va'ad kan loy kamechayv Rabbi Yehuda elu minei obey. And even Rabbi Yehuda only said as halacha minei obey. Avo ma'al moloi. And the reason is doma asi lafrusha min achiv al aptur min aptur al achiv. Rabbi Loza said a chiddush, and even Rabbi Loza had said that there's a chiv to be mafes shumas and maestres, he only said minei obey ya mafes shumas and maestres. Because being that it was loy hichmetz yet, so he was afraid maybe it won't be hichmetz, and as a result, maybe it'll be a gloy milsa that you weren't really chayv and shumas and maestres. So he said, Mineu bay to be mafresh that you do, because mamanav shach. If it's going to be hichmet, so you are mafresh, and if it's not going to be hichmet, so then you never had an obligation to be mafresh. But if you want to use this temed to be mafresh from trumas or maizus for something else, that you can't do, because what happens if this is going to be a loy hichmet, and then it's going to come out that you were mafresh but not potter, because if it was loy hichmet, it never became chayiv al achiv. But what do you see from Rabbi Laza? All we need is one piece of Rabbi Laza. The Rabbi Laza clearly understood the machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, even loy hichmet, because he said that. When Rabbi Yehuda said his halacha beloy hichmetz, that there's an Indian to give chumas or maestres on this temet, he only said minei ube. Because otherwise you're running into p'tor halachiyav issues. Bottom line is, you see that he held not like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said b'she hichmetz machloikis. From Rabbi Loza's statement, it is clear that he held afilu b'she loy hichmetz machloikis. One more halacha on this. No tundra b'na temet ha'chele hichmetz nashikoy b'mayim. So there's halacha that if water becomes tame, there's a special halacha that you can be metayer the water by taking the water and touching a kosher mikvah. So if you take the water, you do what's called hashaka. You make contact with a kosher mikvah, that's enough. What if you have some other liquid, like wine or something else? Then you wouldn't be able to do it. So it's dafka by water, not by something else. So the same shayla, temet, we've been discussing, do we look at it as water? Do we look at it as wine? Could I buy my sasheni? Could I use my sasheni to buy temet with it? Again, is it water or is it wine? It's three lugim of it, of mayim shuvim. Does it pass on the mikvah? Does it not pass on the mikvah? Depends if you look at it as water or wine. Do I have to be mafres trumas from it? Again, depends if it's water or wine. Now you have a fourth halacha. Could I be metayer the temed with hashak or not? So it's a braisa. Temed, actually, hichmet's like our mishnah. Until it fermented, mashikib emayim. Because you look at it as water. Misha hichmet's, once it ferments, ein mashikib emayim, you cannot do hashak. Amar Rav, Rav said, lechon ala shetam de emayim tayrim, v'nitmu. Rav said a chiddush. Rav said that the only time it's true, temet actually hichmetz. You could go ahead and you could do ashaka. That's only if the temet was tahar, then it became tamei. Meaning it was in a state of temet, it became tamei. Avol nitmei meikara, but let's say it started off the water was tamei, then you mixed it together with the grapes, then it became temet. Even if it was loy hichmetz, if you want to go ahead now be matayah with ashaka, loy, you can't do that. Also, Rav Gevia mi bake sils, Rav Gevia mi bake sils, he was one of the Amirah. He heard what Rav said. He told Rav Ashi, and he asked Rav Ashi Akash, he said, what's the reason that if the water was tamei, then it became temet? It was loy hichmetz. The halacha is that it's a problem that you can't do ashok, even though it was like hichmetz yet, and halacha treats it as water, presumably the marina, because you're worried that Aidi the Maya Yakiri, Shachni Tatoi, Upeira Kafi Melil. You're just worried that the Metzias is that the water may have sunk to the bottom. If it sunk to the bottom, when you do the hashaka, it could be it's the peri part that's making the contact with the mikvah. It's not the mayim part that's making the contact with the mikvah. Like kosalkele hashaka l'mayim, and the hashaka is not working for the water. Ihachi, but Rav Gevir mi Beik Sil said, if that's the case, tahoirim ulu b'saif nitmu nami. What's the difference if it was first Tameh or later Tameh. The Metzias doesn't change. Tumah affects it on a spiritual level, but it doesn't affect it on a physical level. It must be, you have to say, it all gets tamished. It all becomes one big bilbo. So here too it should be a bilbo, and the Gemara doesn't say where Rav Ashi responded, but regardless, this concludes the first part of the daf. Vayter, suck the Mishnah. Kol mokoyim sheyesh mecher ein knas. The kol mokoyim sheyesh knas ein mecher. So we know that the Torah says that a father has a right to sell his daughter, but only while she's a ketana. Once she becomes a naira, once she turns 12 years old, certainly if she's a bagera, she's older than 12, the halacha is he's not allowed to sell her anymore. Another halacha, a naira that is nenas, or mefuta. If someone's ma'anes or mefata a naira, the Torah says, v'nasa la'via naira, you have to give a knas, and the knas goes to the father. It says the Mishnah, any girl that's of age, that the father could sell her, komakam chiyach mecha and knas, that means that she's too old if she's too young for there to be knas. V'chamachem sheyesh knas, and if there's knas, a mecher is not going to be mecher. What's the reason? Because you could sell a ktana, and you get knas for a naira. So if she's the age of mecher, that means by definition she's a ktana. A ktana, there's no knas. If she's of an age of knas, that means she's a naira. That means the father can't sell. Rabbi Yudah Rav Zudivi Rav Meir. Even though it sounds very simple, but the truth is it's really a das yochid and shastas mission. Shitas Rav Meir. The chachamim oimrim. The chachamim say yesh knas b'mokor mecher. That even a ktana who has mecher also has knas. The time runs to the brayso. And this brayso, if you look in the Maseiros Hashas, is mentioned. Actually, Pesach Hashas says Ksubas Daf Mem, but it's really the first omen. It's right in the beginning of Perikei Linares. Ketana mibasi yomecha vachatovi beisayros yesh lo mecher. Ketana mibasi yomecha until she brings to Cyrus has mecher. Right? A ketana father can tell. Ein lo knas. Mishatovi beisayros. Once she has beisayros, acheti boger yesh lo knas ve ein lo mecher devi ramei. Shoy ramei roi merar mishno. Kol makim sheyesh mecher ein knas. Vechol makim sheyesh knas ein mecher. Dechachamim oimrim. Dechachamim say ketana mibas kimul shana biyomechad acheti boger. No, this knas, even for ketana, once she's a ru'i labia, once she's 3 years or older, even though she's still a ketana, she's not a naira yet, still that loch is a knas. There's still knas. Right to Gemara, knas in mecheloi. Ketana mi baskim shalom via mecher, as knas sounds like only knas and not mecher. Says the Gemara, ema af knas be mokum mecher. Doesn't mean only mecher, it means knas and mecher. Vada, there's mecher. The Torah says there's mecher. The chiddush is that this is going to be knas as well. In other words, our Mishnah says that a ketana has no knas, that's Shitas Rav Meir and Shas. But according to the Chachamim, a ketana mibas shalosh shanim v'yomechad has knas, which means that there's going to be knas b'makom mecher. In other words, the Mishnah is Shitas Rav Meir v'ayta. Zok the Mishnah, kol makom sheyesh miyun ein chalitza, v'chol makom sheyesh chalitza ein miyun. So what's miyun? If a girl gets married, Midi Rabban. So you know, Midi Raisa, a father could sell his daughter. That was the previous Mishnah. A father also has a right to marry his daughter off. As Biti Nasati Lishazeh, a father could be Mekabel Kedushin on behalf of his daughter that's a Ketana, Midi Raisa. But only the father could do it. What about a brother, a mother, one of the other relatives? They don't have the right to do that. Stating that, the Chachamim said that just like Midi Raisa, the father could be Mekadesh, a daughter, the brother's mother, Veshar Kroy Vimlashan Rambam, could be Mekadesh, a girl, Kedushe de Rabban. But being that Kedushin is only Midi Rabban, there's a tremendous kula. And that is that what happens if this girl decides one day she's not interested in staying married to this man anymore? She could walk away from the marriage. On a deraisa marriage, the only way to terminate it is if the husband gives a get. But being that this Kedushin is only Kedushe de Rabbanon, so the halacha, she can be my mind, she can decide she's not interested in being married anymore. It's what's known as Miyun, and Miyun gives her a right to walk away. Chalitza, we know it. Says the Mishnah, kol mokoyim sheyesh miyun. If the girl could do miyun, that means she's a ketana. Because only a ketana could be menes, which means ain't chalitza. Because a ketana can't do chalitza. V'chol mokoyim sheyesh chalitza. She could do chalitza, which by definition means she's already bas mitzvah. Amen. So she's too old already to do miyun. Am Rav Yudah Rav Zudivi Rav Meir. It's also Rav Meir. Av chachamim oimrim, the chachamim say yesh miyun. The Tanya, who's this? Rav Meir, it's a price. I must say, a bas b'malenes. Until what point could a girl do miyun? Achatavish tei Cyrus. Until she speaks to Cyrus, divi Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, achiyar bas shachar alalov. No, that even after she already becomes bas mitzvah, until the shachar is nisraba on the lovan, it's a later age. Until that point, she still has the right to do miyun. Meaning, the Mishnah that says that only a ketana could do miyun, zu divi Rav Meir. But Rabbi Yehuda
argues, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a gdoila kedumion, there is a maximum age, but it's older than ktana. So it's not true that chamakim sheyesh mion in chalitza v'chamakim sheyesh chalitza in mion. Incidentally, another thing you see in the Mishnah is that a ktana cannot do chalitza. That's also shittas Rameir. It's Rameir Masachtis Yevamis Daf Kuf Hey. It's a machlokes Rameir l'chachamim, where Rameir shita is that a ktana cannot do chalitza. The chachamim hold that a ktana can do chalitza. So the Gemara said Zudivir Rameir on the first part of the Mishnah as it relates to mion, that only a ktana could do mion and a gedola cannot do mion. Zudivir Rameir. The truth is the second part of the Mishnah, I think, is also shita's Rameir Ayin Sham Yevamis Daf Kuf Hey. It's only Rameir that holds that a ktana cannot do chalitza. According to chachamim, a ktana could do chalitza. Either way, Zok the Mishnah weiter. Kol makoim sheyesh tekiya ein havdala v'chol makoim sheyesh havdala ein tekiya. So what exactly are these tekiyas? So again, a little bit of background. And the background is a gemara in the end of Perek by Mem Adlikin. It's Mesechta Shabbos, Daflamid Heyamid Beis, Tanu Rabbanan. So once upon a time, there was a minig that Erev Shabbos, as Shabbos was coming, there was someone that was set aside in every kehillah. He would blow shofar so that the oilam would know that Shabbos is coming. And the Brayer says as follows: Sheish tekiyos toikin erev Shabbos. There were six tekiyos that this baal tekiya would blow on erev Shabbos. Shabbos rishoyin. The first one was the haftalas amim malach Shabbos. The first one was the people that were far away. They were working in the fields. They had to hear this tekiya. They should know it's time to start coming into the city. Shnia. The second one was the haftalir. People that were living in the cities. The people that had stores. The chanuyos. They should know to close their stores. Shlishis. The third one was lahadlikes aner, to know that it's time to light neiris. Divrei Rab Nasi, Yehuda Nasi Yomer. Yehuda Nasi said shlishis. The third one was lachlit tefillin. Once upon a time, everybody would wear tefillin all day, so you need time to take your tefillin off. So the third one was to give you enough time to take your tefillin. V'shoyek kedei tzlias dag katan, or kedei lahadlik pas batana. Then the batekei would wait a little bit. How much time to make final preparations for Shabbos? Incidentally, the Rishonim say that you see from this Gemara that the time to light the ner isn't mamish right before Shabbos. It's supposed to be enough time where you could even make some preparations before, right? 18 minutes. But you see even more than that. You see that you're allowed to make preparations after you light the menorah. The Rosh says, you see from here, that when a woman lights candles Friday night, the man's still allowed to do malacha, because that's what the Mishnah says. The third tekiah, what was the purpose of the third tekiah? It was lahadlikes haner. It was so that the lady should go light candles, and then they would wait, kedei tzlias dag katan, or kedei lahadlik, pas patana. And then v'tekeya, umariya, v'tekeya, tkiya, trua, tkiya, v'shoivis. It's kekibin Shabbos. Anyway, that was the halachas. Our mission discusses what happens when Yontif and Shabbos fall out smuchin zel lezeh. So Yontif falls out on a Friday, or Yontif falls out on a Sunday. So if Yontif falls out on a Friday, that's poshet that they would blow shofar on Thursday. Just like they blew shofar before Shabbos, they blew shofar before Yontif. It's the same thing, can't do malach on Yontif, just like can't do malach on Shabbos. The question is, did they blow shofar on Yontif before Shabbos was coming? Because Shabbos is more chamer than Yontif. On Yontif, you're allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh. So the question is, was there shofar on Yontif when Yontif is Erev Shabbos? Again, it's Friday afternoon, it's Yontif, it's Shavuos. Now Shabbos is coming. So the question is, on Shavuos itself, are they going to blow Shofar or not? Zok the Mishnah, kol makim sheyesh tekiya in Abdol. V'chol makim sheyesh Abdol, ain't tekiya. The Mishnah explains, Yontif shcholiyas b'Erev Shabbos. Yontif that falls out on Erev Shabbos, toikin, they would blow Shofar. And why would they blow shofar? Suck drashi, because Shabbos is more chamer than Yontif. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh. On Yontif, you're allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh. So even though they don't have to blow shofar, we'll see, it wasn't six tekiyos. You don't have to blow shofar to get people to come in from the fields, because nobody's working on the field. It's Yontif anyways. But at the same time, you still need this separation between Yontif and Shabbos, because on Yontif, you're allowed to do malach ha-seichel nefesh, and on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Melech HaSeichel Nefesh. At the same time, V'loim Havdila, but there's no Havdala, right? You don't make Havdala when you go from Yontif to Shabbos, even though you're going from Kedusha to Kedusha. One is Kedusha's Yontif, the other one is Kedusha Shabbos, but there's no Havdala in between. Matzai Shabbos, what happens if Yontif falls down on a Sunday? So then already, Mavdilin, there is Havdala, right? You make Havdala on Matzai Shabbos, even though you're going from, right? When you make Kiddush, Yontif, night, Matzoi Shabbos, you make Havdalah. But at the same time, but on Shabbos, you didn't blow
Shofar, even though it was Erev Yontif. Ketzad Mavdilin, what was the Nusach Havdalah? What are you supposed to do when you make Havdalah? Going from Shabbos to Yontif. Hamavdu ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. Rab Doisa says, ben Kodesh Chamor l'Kodesh Akal. You're supposed to emphasize the fact that Yontif is not as Kodesh as Shabbos. Thus, you don't just say Hamavdu ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, because that would seem to equate the two levels of Kodesh. No, it's two different levels. Thus, you're supposed to say, ben Kodesh Chamor l'Kodesh Akal. Says the Gemara, Hechitekei. When you blow Shofar on Yontif, which is also Erev Shabbos, so that the Olam should know no more Melechas Eichel Nefesh. How exactly did they blow Shofar? Meaning it was understood that you didn't follow exactly what the Gemara says in Shabbos Taflam and Heyam Adays. A Shino you were supposed to do. What was the Shino? Amar Rabbi Dov Yudah said, Toikeya umariya mitoichat kiyah. What he would do is, the Baal Tekeya would blow a tekiyah and a truah, and the truah would come from the tekiyah. Like we have a Shvarim Truah, it's a Shvarim and a Truah, one after the other. So it would be a Tkiah Truah, but instead of pausing between the Tkiah and the Truah, it would be a Tkiah Truah. It says the Gemara, Vasi Yomer, Vasi says, Toikeya Umariya, very, very similar, but one difference, Beneshima Achas. Meaning, whereas Rav Yehuda said that he didn't even pause between the Tkiah and the Truah, Rav Asi says he would pause between the Tkiah and the Truah, he would pause, but at the same time, despite the fact that he was pausing, he had to be cognizant of making sure that he didn't breathe. Pause, yeah, breathe, no. The point is, it was Beneshima Achas. Iskin, Rav Asi, Behutzel Kishmaite. Rav Asi, by the way, Paskin, the Lachal Amaisa, and Hutzel, to do it his way. Meisvah, Faitim, Marakash, Yontif, Shalias, Be'er Shabbos, Taikim, Vele Marian, you're supposed to blow a Tkiah, you're not supposed to blow a Teruah. My love, Le Marian Klal, it sounds like not like any in the Amirah. Rav Yehuda said, do it my way, Rav Asi said, do it his way. Here you have a Brisa that says there was no Teruah. According to both Shitas of the Amirah, there was a Teruah, says the Gemara. Rav Yehuda, Matarat Sultami, Rav Asi, Matarat Sultami. Read the Matarat Sultami, Le Marian, what it doesn't mean, don't blow a Truah at all. Rather, what it means is Bifnei Atzma. Don't blow a set of a standalone Truah. Elamit Teich Tkiah. It should come from the Tkiah. Rav Asi Mitaratz Tamei. Loi Miriam B'shtei Neshimois. Ela B'Neshima Achas. Maitzo Yish Shabbos. Amatz Shabbos. So there was no Tkiah, right? You don't blow a Tkiah from Shabbos to Yontif, but at the same time you make Havdalah. The Mishnah said Ketzad Mavdila. What was the Nusach? You're not going to say Amavdu ben Kodesh L'Chayil at the end of the Havdalah, because you're not going from Kodesh L'Chayil. You're going from Kodesh L'Kodesh. So the question is, what's the Nusach? So Mishnah said two shittas. Amavdu ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Rav Doisa said ben Kodesh Chamer L'Kodesh Akal. Says the Gemara Heichel. Where are you supposed to add those words? Ben Kodesh Chamer L'Kodesh Chal Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh Omar L'Omar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said the Chasi Masa. It's at the end. When you say Amavdu ben Kodesh L'Chayil. No, not Amavdu ben Kodesh L'Chayil. Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, Ben Kodesh Chamer L'Kodesh Chal. Chen Omer Nachum ben Chasi Masa. Sheish B'ed Rav Yehuda Yomar. Af B'Psichasa. Even when you're going through the Psicha, Amavdu ben Kodesh L'Chamer Noi L'Chayish Ben Yisrael L'Amim. Even there you don't say Amavdu ben Kodesh L'Chayil. You insert Amavdu ben Kodesh L'Chayish or Ben Kodesh Chamer L'Chayish. But the Gemara says V'Letz L'Chaz Kavasir. Rav Doisa Omer Ben Kodesh Chamer L'Chayish. V'Letz L'Chaz Kavasir. And by the way, the Lach is not like Rav Doisa either. Amar Rav Zera said Yontif Shcholias Be'emtzah Shabbos. If Yontif falls out on a Tuesday and you're making Avdalah, Omer, you should say Amavdol Ben Kodesh L'Chayr Ben Or L'Chayshach Ben Yisrael Na'amin Ben Yoyim Ashvi L'Sheshes Yemei Amasa. Why? Why are you saying all these Havdalahs? My timer. Seder Avdalahs Humayna. Meaning, even though, for example, doesn't seem appropriate. That makes sense when you're making Havdalah on Shabbos. But you're making Havdalah on Yontif. Teretz is an achinami. The real Havdalah is Ben Kodesh L'Chayil. But once we mention one Havdalah, like we do even on a Matzoi Shabbos, we throw in all the Havdalahs. Rav Zera said that this is not just true on Matzoi Shabbos. But Matzoi Yontif, you also have the whole list of Havdalahs, even Ben Yoyim Ashvi L'Sheshes Yemei Amasa, despite the fact that we're not being mavdol Ben Shabbos L'Chayil, but rather what we're being mavdol is Ben Yontif L'Chayil, and on that note, Hadron Aloch, HaKol Shoich Nen Exel. So the Perek ended on a very different note that it started. We started HaKol Sheikhten. We ended up talking about the halachas of Havdalah. So just to pick from all the Mishnayos that we learned, we'll speak out a little bit of raid on the last Mishnah. So the last Mishnah was predicated on a Gemara Masechta Shabbos Taflam and Heyam Beis that says once upon a time when the Yidden lived in the shtetl, so there was a Baal Tekeah whose job was every Erev Shabbos, he had to blow Sheish Tkiyos. It was a Tkiyah, a Truah, a Tkiyah, a Tkiyah, a Truah, a Tkiyah. Each Tekiah, Trua, seemed to serve a purpose, but the general purpose of what was being done was that the Olam should know that it's time to get ready for Shabbos. How do you know it's Shabbos? You're working in the field. So, I mean, it's not supposed to, you know, have clocks, watches, phones. How do you supposed to know what time it is? So this dude was a Mamunah. His job was to blow Shofar, and it was through the Tekiah Shofar that the Olam knew that it was time to make Shabbos. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchos Shabbos. It's in Erech Chaim Simen Reish Nun Vav Ubaisif Echad. Says the Mechab, Kshay Yisrael B'Yeshuvan, when the Yidin were B'Yeshuvan, the good old days, Hayatoykim B'Erev Shabbos Sheish Tkiyas. They would blow six Tkiyas on Erev Shabbos, K'dei L'Havdil Asa Amin Melach. Says the Ramah, V'Nagu B'Kehila Yisak Kedoshis, that the Minik still is in the Heilige Kehilas, Shekol Shu Samach L'Shabbos Kechatzi Shah, Oisha, if you're within a half hour, an hour of Shabbos, Shemachriz Shliach Tzibur, there's a Shliach Tzibur, there's someone who's appointed, this is his job, Lahechen Atzman LeShabbos, he goes and he makes a ramko that the Olam should know that it's time to prepare for Shabbos. V'hu b'makoim hatkiyos b'yameyem, and this is in lieu of what once upon a time with the Sheish Tkiyos, as mentioned in Masechta Shabbos, Daflam and Heyom and Beis, and then the Ramah concludes, V'chein roi linoik b'chol makoim. I've seen this minig in the Kehilos HaKadoshos. But the truth is, he says, it's appropriate for every single kehila to take upon this minig that there should be someone whose job it's going to be to go and to be mezarois the olam so that they should get ready for Shabbos. The Mishnah Berura elaborates on this. And the Mishnah Berura says as follows, u'bekehilos gedolos ma'od, in the very, very large kehila, she'efshel ha'achris, where it's very difficult to have one person who's going to blow shofar so loud or he's going to start knocking on everybody's doors. It's not practical. Nochim ba'od, says the Mishnah Berura, she'imotsu anoshim, he says you should try to get a group of people because one person is not going to be able to do this job, and he should start running through the streets to make sure that the stores are closed and to make sure that the women light neiros. Says the Chofetz Chaim, nowadays there were actually chaburos, said the Chofetz Chaim. What was the function of this chabura al hashkochas haShabbos to make sure that the olam keeps Shabbos? Says the Mishnah Berurah, I give them a bracha. Va'ashrei chelkom ki hem mezaken es Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim. It's a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim. V'yisku avur zeh, and they'll be zoicha for this. Ha'mischaskin tomid b'mitzvah zu. What's the bracha? Bonim gedoy le'Yisrael. He says that in the schus of them being mechazik the Yidin, this chabura kedoysha, he says, I vinch them on that they're going to be zoicha to have bonim gedoy le'Yisrael. So why bonim gedoy le'Yisrael? So in the Sharat Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah elaborates a little bit. Says the Chofetz Chaim that I'm basing this really on two Mamori Chazal. The first is well known, the second not so well known. The well known one is Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Hazor Biner, Havel Abanim Tamid Chachamim. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that you see from here that if somebody is careful with Hadlokas Neiro Shabbos, Hazor Biner means Ner Chanukah Ner Shabbos, you see it's a school at Abanim Tamid Chachamim. Vesham, Haloy Hoyazor Rak Ba'atzma. Vikoshkein Bezesh, Umezaka Tamil Rabbim Ben Israel. So Madach, someone who's Zor Biner for himself, Havel Abanim. If somebody's mezaka other people, for sure it's a school at that bottom of Tamid Chacham. But he says, I have another chazal, and that is Gabe Elkanah. Elkanah, as in Chana's husband, as in Shmuel's father. When he used to be Oyla Regal every year, he used to get other people to also come be Oyla Regal. Say Chazal, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ato Kivanto Lezakis Es Yisrael, you wanted to be Mezakis Es Yisrael, Ani Oitzi Mimcha Ben, She Yizakis Es Yisrael Lefonai. V'zochem, what was he Zoycha Tu, V'yotza B'men Shmuel. Right, we know so much about what Chana did to merit that. Right, with all the raid and the lumdis and the agada, right? How many droshes from behind the pulpit were given on El Hanara Zeh Spalalti? What Chana did to merit to have a son Shmuel? But Elkanah also had a schuz, right? So what did Elkanah do? He was the father. Say Chazal, this is the rest of the story, that when Elkanah used to go be Eile Regel, he used to be Mizaris people. So Sharet Sim brings us in El Chashabbos. So he says, you see that if someone's Mizakis a rabbi, it's a school to have a son that's a godel. She was Zoicha to Shmuel. So it says the Chafetz Chaim. That's mamish tucked away, right? It says the Chafetz Chaim that between the two things, I can make it's Basha. That if you see that when it comes to Shabbos, Harogel Bener, Havim Lebanon, Tamil Chacham, and when it comes to be Mezakis Arabim, Elkanah was Zoicha to have his son Shmuel, who was a Gadol, because he was Mezakis Israel. So if you're Mezakah people in Shmira Shabbos, these Chaburos, says the Chafetz Chaim, this is where I'm coming from. He gives them a bracha, Ashrei Chelkam, ki he Mezakin as Israel. Now, as it relates to this idea, to digress from our digression, as it relates to this idea of Harogel Bener, Havel Lebanim, Talmid HaChachamim, so the Mishnah Berurah himself brings the Shem Da'achroinim in Hilchot Shabbos in Siman Reish Samach Gimel Isa B'Shas the Zoicha Avur Zeh Lebanim Talmid HaChachamim. That if somebody's careful with lighting candles Friday night, and that merit, he will be zoicha to have children to be the chachamim. The chsiv ki ner mitzvah v'toyra or al yidei ner mitzvah the Shabbos bar or the toyra. Says the Mishnah Berurah v'lochei roi shetespalel ho'isha acha shetigmar adlaka. A woman should daven after she finishes lighting candles Friday night. V'habrocha sheyitim la'kodesh baruch hu banim scharim mi'irim b'toyra. That every woman after she lights candle Friday night she should daven. Her tefillah should be that she should be zoicha to banim talmid chachamim, because you see Chazal say that her rogel b'ner. I'll tell you a nice marmokim that I found. And that is that this idea of Harogel Bener Havim Labanu Tamid HaChacham is specifically that a woman should daven when she lights candles Friday night, because it's a schos, founded in the Rishonim. It's Rabbeinu Bechaya. It's in Parshas Yisroi. But if you take a look at Rabbeinu Bachya and you medayik Lashoni Azov, he seems to say it a little bit differently. The context is a well-known pasuk. Umaysha Allah Elo Elokim Vayikra Elo Hashem in a hard lemur Koysoim Relaves Yaakov Visagid Livnei Yisrael. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, Chazal say Koysoim Relaves Yaakov Elo Hanoshim. So why are we talking to the Nashim? And why are the Nashim mentioned first? Koysoim Relaves Yaakov first talk to the women, that was Nashim, and only afterwards Visagid Lebeis Yisrael. Says the Rabbeinu Bechai, the Oit, so Isha HaToyva, he Sibel the Torah, that a woman plays a bigger role in her children growing up and vaccine guys to be Amid Chachamim than a father does. Shehi Yechayla LaHamshech Hasbenola Beis Medrash, because she can talk her son into going to yeshiva. Lefi Shehi Mitzuya Bebayis, simply just practical, she's home more. V'hime rachemes olav, not just that, but she has that koyach of nashim rachmoni yosein, v'kam amina gaguim, k'dei laham shechoyse achal imar ha-toyer min ha-umav, v'gam ki yaskun lo yosem imena. So it says Rabbeinu Bachya, you want to know why the girls mentioned before the boy? Koysoim lo veis yakiv, and then afterwards we go to the yeshivas, first the veis yankivs. The reason is because she actually is going to play a bigger role, believe it or not, in the spiritual growth of her children. And it's practical, says Rabbeinu Bachya. That's a fact. That's why we talk first to her, and then afterwards we talk to him. Says Rabbeinu Bechayev, Lokach, Ru'uya Ha'isha L'spalu L'Hashem Yisparach B'Shas Adlokas HaNer Shal Shabbos. That's why the woman, Dafka the woman, should be the one to make sure that she has a kfios every single week that she davens, that her children should grow up to be Tamid Chachamim. Why do you want the woman to do it more than the man? It's because this is her thing. V'lokach, because this is, she's more of a balabas on this. She actually has more control over the outcome of her children. We want her to be the one that's going to do it. And her tefillah should be Sheyitin LaHashem Bonim Meirim Betoyim. Now, why when she lights candles? Says Rabbeinu Bachya, Ki Atfilo Yoisin Nishmas B'Shas Hashiyasiyas HaMitzvah. Because when a person does a mitzvah, it's an Eis Ratzon, and it's an Eis Ratzon that he can daven to Hashem, and Hashem's going to answer his tefillah. Uki Atfilo Yoisin Nishmas. He has a better chance of being answered. B'shas asiyas hamitzvah u'b'schus ner Shabbos. And then Rabbeinu Bachya throws in, oh, by the way, there's a connection between adlokas ner Shabbos and between shu'ar tizkul abanu amali toyer and agrasar shenem agamiz leror chendoshu chazal haiman deroga b'shrogi havel abanu tamid chacham Shabbos tafchav gimel. But it's an add-on. That's not the punchline. You know what the punchline says Rabbeinu Bachya is because when a person does a mitzvah, it's a tremendous eis rotzen. It's an eis rotzen that his tefillah can be more answered. It happens to be that lighting candles Friday night is a school of Rabbanu Tamid Chachamim. That's a mitzvah that the woman does. We want the woman to daven. It's because it's her geshef. So she's really the one that's supposed to be saying this tefillah. But the point is, it's not the school of so much of Adlokas Ner Shabbos. This is actually a a lesson that's much more close. And that is when a person does a mitzvah. So imagine a person does a mitzvah that's coming b'nisayin, that's not an easy mitzvah for him to do. It's an eitz rotzen. And it's a time that a person has a right to stop and be mispawel. Ki atfilo yoyse nishmas b'shas asiyas ha-mitzvah u'bizchus nersha. By the way, it also happens to be a skula. So regardless, the Mishnah Berurah says, brings it in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, and that's of course it's the minug Yisrael that a woman davens when she lights candles Friday night, that she should be zeichet to banim tamid chachamim. What's the source for it? The source for it is based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara says, "Hay man the rogel b'ner havin labanim tamid chachamim." That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings. But this already has a makar in the Rishonim. The makar is Rabbeinu Bechaya, and Rabbeinu Bach adds two beautiful things. He says, number one, the reason the woman is the one that says this tefillah, not the man, is because koysomer leves Yaakov first, v'sagi lebnei Yisrael afterwards, and the reason is shal isha hatoyva he siba l'tayra, the good wife, she's the one that has more of a hashpah on the outcome of her children, even more so than her husband does. And why at the time of lighting candles? Of course, it's because candles are related. But that's on the skula level, on a more practical level, because when a person does a mitzvah, it's a tremendous eitz rotzen for the person's tefillah is to be answered.